Give Pastor Aaron a big God bless you this morning. That's a good word. Takes me a minute to get all situated here. Good morning, everyone. I love you. I thank God for every one of you. You're amazing. You're incredible. You're called. You're blessed. You're favored. The Bible says you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're separated. The Bible says that you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. Isn't that good news to every one of us today? And I'm so grateful to be here today. Last week I was in quarantine jail, and this week I'm here. My wife, Patty, is doing fabulous. But she said, honey, nobody wants to be around me after coming through this. So I said, okay, honey, just stay home. It's fine. So, honey, I love you. It's not the same without you here, but I know you're watching, and I'm so grateful. Ryan and his family, they're in quarantine right now as well. And so continue to keep them in prayer. And Lord, I pray for those who are watching today that are sick in their body. I pray healing in Jesus' name over them. I pray for those that are here today that are dealing with something in their lives, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual. Lord, minister grace and help and wholeness to each one. I pray today in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said amen. Amen. I really do love you, and I thank God for you, and I'm so glad I'm able to be here today. It's not like me. You know, we've never closed on a Sunday for a snowstorm or anything. I love God's house. I love God's people. I'm just grateful to be here. I want to remind everybody, we've been doing the food giveaway on Wednesdays, and we're going to do it again this coming Wednesday. I got a call from World Vision that asked if we would be able to take a tractor trailer on this Wednesday, and I said, absolutely. So they're going to contact us back. But I'm 95% sure that is going to take place. So that moves us from 350 to 400 boxes that we will get. On top of that, we'll get another 1,300 boxes of food and be able to bless people. So I want you to be thinking, how would God use you in that? You don't have to pay for it. You are paying when you give. You help make that happen because we have to rent equipment and do all kinds. There is a cost to it, but not the actual cost of what the value of the food is. But how could God use you in your circle of people and where your community is? How could God use you to bless somebody, to make a difference in somebody's life? I want you to be thinking about that and allow this Wednesday maybe to be one of those moments that you can do that you can help somebody in that way. The past few Sundays, I have loved sharing from the passage out of Acts chapter 27, where Paul was on his journey to Rome, and the Bible says that their ship came against an incredible storm, and in one place in that scripture, it said that they dropped four anchors so their ship wouldn't be carried away and busted up against the rocks and the waves. They dropped four anchors. And sometimes you and I, in the middle of some of the hardest moments in our lives, instead of just going with the flow or, you know, whatever, you got to drop an anchor in your life. You have to stop, and you have to allow God to do what he wants to do in that moment. The first week I talked about the anchor of prayer and the word of God, how important these things are in our lives. Last week, via the video message, I talked about the anchor about the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones who have been called out to do and to live a different way and to be called into the work and to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not the only minister here. Pastor Aaron isn't the only minister. When God calls you, he puts a commandment on your life. You are not your own, the Bible says. You are now bought with a price, and the price is the blood of Jesus. And when you know that you're bought, then you know you are created to serve him and to give to him. That's part of the ecclesia. And I know that people in this season, you know, they've gotten upset for a myriad of things. You know, last year, people telling me, you know, you're closing the church, you don't have any faith. And then I got people that are saying, I can't believe you opened the church. You're killing people. And so you're in the middle of this, and you're trying to navigate. Can I tell you, there's no books, there's no teaching, there's no classes how to go through what we've been going through. There is none. You walk and you try and you make some decisions. Some are right and some probably aren't. But in the middle of that, I ask everybody, in particular here, and maybe you're watching at home today, to have extra understanding for where people are in their lives right now. Because you don't know the backstory of what some people are facing and what they are going through. You don't know how difficult a moment in their life has been. And maybe they don't live up to your expectations. But that doesn't mean that you have to banish them and get upset. Can I just ask you today that maybe you'll just pause in your final estimation of what someone is or is not. You just take a step back and you just ask the Lord and say, God, help me. Because we can have differences and we can still love one another. We can have a difference of opinion. We can have sometimes a different conviction about certain things. But we can still love one another. Come on, can't we do that? I have all kinds of friends. You'd be upset at me if I told you about who some of my friends are. And they're so different than me. But that doesn't mean even them being that different from me that I can't learn something from them. And the Bible says, in this time when we talk about the ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, the writer in Hebrews in 10:25, and I love the Passion Translation, how it says it, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. Now, you know, I understand the physical distancing. I get that. That's, my wife is doing that today. I get all that. But nevertheless, he goes on to say, he said, don't do it like form the habit of some doing, because we need each other. And never before have we needed each other like we need one another right now. Amen. Come on. Maybe a phone call. Maybe a text. You know, you can't go see people and visit them. I haven't been to visit anybody in the hospital in a year. You just can't do it. But I can still reach out. I can still let somebody know, hey, I love you. I can tell people on the amazing gift of God that he has given us to be online. I can tell people that are watching. I got a message from Florida this morning. I can tell people that are watching in Washington State. And not everybody in Washington State is bad, or in Washington, D.C. is bad. I can tell people in California that have watched, in Arizona that have watched, people, a guy from Kenya that's watching. I can tell them through this incredible device, I love you, and God is for you, and he cares for you. And when I say that, I mean that. And we need one another in the season that we're in. In fact, he says we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day of the Lord coming. And he is coming. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but will be soon. He is coming again. Come on, and how many of you believe God with that and are grateful for that? I want to share with you today about that, this fourth anchor that I talked about, the anchor of worship, and how important this is in all of our lives. Because my brothers and my sisters, we all worship something, every one of us. Whether you know the Lord or you don't, every one of us worships something. We show our affection towards something. We worship what we value the most. shopping, maybe, football. And listen, there's nothing wrong with many of these things. Some of them, there is. But there's nothing wrong. Come on, ladies, is there anything wrong with shopping? Come on, I want to hear an amen on this morning. Football, how many Bills fans have we got in the house this morning? Nothing wrong with that. It's wrong, though, when you put more emphasis on people that you don't even know than you do on the one that saved you, hung on the cross, shed his blood for you, rose again from the dead on the third day, and said, I have come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. When we worship football more than we worship him, my brothers and my sisters, that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with having fun. And I hope you have fun. How many of you like my shirt? Betty said, my son said, half the church will love you, the other half won't. You'll get over it if you don't. Maybe it's an addiction. And I'll let you to make the determination on that. You know, when I begin to think about this, I thought about what we worship is what we go to first in our lives every day. What are the firsts in your life that you go to every day, every week, every month? And I pondered this, and I thought about this, and I determined much of what I go to first is what I worship. I love these quotes. Put God first and you'll never be last. I love that. A.W. Tozer said, as God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved all at once. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to tell you that again. As God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems, they're solved all at once. What is your first? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, he said, they gave according to their means, and I can testify, they gave beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, they gave themselves first. Everybody say first. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. So let me tell every married, every couple, every husband, every wife, that when you give yourselves first to the Lord, oh, I know, you know, he's this and she's that. But listen, 43 years into it, some of the this and that wears off. But if you love God first, he will make everything else fall into place with and for you. Husband, sir, if you love God first, you put him first, your wife, she will be more attracted to you. I don't care. You can slap any cologne on, have the right hair, do the clothes, drive the right car. It's not going to do it. But when you put God first in your life, sir, it'll cause your wife. Amen on that right there. I better stop on that. I'm going to get off into something else here. They gave themselves first to the Lord. Proverbs 3:6. In everything you do, put God first. And he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. I like this in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. It says in the Living Bible, yet there is one thing wrong. He said, one thing. You don't love me as at first. When we met him, we forsook everything. And then we got to get used to it. And we don't put him first. And the Bible says, he said, I got one thing. Just one thing. Because if you get this one thing right, everything else falls into place. Remember what Tozer said, if you exalt him to first place, he'll make 1,000 wrongs right. He'll fix all the mess up in your life. And the anchor of worship is so important in our lives that we must understand it. And I've come to find out that some people, maybe they don't understand it. They like a certain song. They like a particular person singing. And they think, you know, that's worship. But that's a part of it, but that's not all of it. Praise, listen, there's a difference. Praise is the recounting of all that God has done for us. When Garrett and Courtney led that song this morning, how good he, all my life, you've been faithful. I mean, that if that didn't resonate with you, if that didn't touch your heart, like my one friend used to say, your wood is wet. Something, when you hear that, all my life, you have been faithful. He's been faithful to me. Can I just take a minute and just tell you how great he's been to me in the moments of my life, in the hardest times in my life? I learned this when I was a 17-year-old boy that had just not long given his heart to the Lord, and I had to pick out the casket for my mother, and I became homeless, and I didn't know. My whole life, my body was numb with pain, and somebody told me, read the Word of God. Enter into a relationship with him. And in the back of my pickup truck, in a cap on a cold November morning, as I'm laying on my clothes to keep them warm for the next morning, I begin to worship God and I begin to give him thanks. And it wasn't easy. And I'm not telling you that when you go through stuff like that, oh, God will just help you breeze through it. I never went through anything difficult and breezed through nothing. But in the middle of it, I make up my mind that I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. And when I do, he busts open doors for me and leads me into a life and into a dimension that I never knew before. He is faithful. He is good to me. He will help you and I through the most difficult moments of our lives when we praise and when we worship him. And worship is just another place in our heart and in our spirit that's reserved for God alone. Luke 4:8, Jesus answered, he said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God in him only. Shall you serve? Shall you put first? And praise is such an integral part of worship, but worship takes us beyond that. When we worship, there's a humbling that comes to our lives before the Lord, and we surrender. We come to him not just for who he is, but what he has done in our lives. And worship isn't an activity that we do just on a Sunday. It's something we do every day of our lives. If he's first. If he's first, when your feet hit the ground in the morning, God, I thank you that you've given me another day. And Jesus said that if people don't praise him, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 40, he said he'll cause stones to cry out. He said in Psalm 96, 9, that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And that we are, in Psalm 95, 6, we come and worship and we may bow down. Sometimes in the sanctuary, and I think we've gotten somewhat a little too rigid over the years where, you know, if somebody expresses themselves different than what we're used to, that we look at them in a different way. And we need to move beyond that. That if God moves you at a moment, then maybe you get out of your seat and you come and you bow at the altar. And people say, well, I don't have to do that to worship the Lord. And you're right, you don't have to. But if he moves on you to do it, you should obey him and just do that. But listen, sometimes it's important for us to know why. Because when we know the wise will determine our ways. We worship and we praise because he asks us to do that. Not always when we feel like it or when we want to, but when we do it, something takes place in our lives. Psalm 150, verse 1, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. I tried to get a trumpet player here this morning too. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. I'm not much of a dancer. I've encouraged Pastor Aaron sometimes. If God breaks out in you, just bust out in a dance. How many of you just love that? I mean, if I got up and danced, people would walk out the back door. But if she got out and danced, you'd all be in tears. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath, everybody go, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And then he says it again, praise the Lord. Because he calls us to praise. Not some of us, but he calls all of us. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm so thankful for that. Let me tell you something. When God called me, when he touched me, when he took my hand, I was in such a dark place in my life. But he pulled me out of that, and he placed me in his wonderful light. I'm so grateful for that. We praise him for who he is. Psalm 145:3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Psalm 96, verse 4, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. We praise him for who he is and for what he has done. So, and some people mock what God has done in another person's life when they begin to express themselves. But let me tell you something. When God radically saves a person, they are going to express themselves in ways that maybe the controlled person has not seen or has never experienced. And we shouldn't judge people for that. We should think, we should be grateful. We should be thankful. In fact, the religious judged the woman who God had changed so much her life that she bowed down at the feet of Jesus and began to wash his feet with her tears and her hair. And when all the religious people started judging her for that, he said, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in here today that has had many sins forgiven, but I'm talking to me right now. My many sins, like this woman, had been forgiven as her great love has shown. People will express themselves in a hilarious, and maybe a fashion that you don't understand when they know that they have been forgiven much. He says, who's been forgiven much, loves much. And he who's been forgiven little, they love just a little bit. When God does a work in your life, something is transformed. And this is harmful if we allow others to hinder our praise and our worship. Because when we allow and take the focus off of what he has done for us and place it on something else, we stifle the work that he has not only done in our lives, but the work that he wants to do in and through our lives. I read the scripture earlier this morning. I couldn't remember right where it is, 1 Peter 2:10. Because you were once, it's not going to be on the screen, you were once not even a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you hadn't obtained mercy, but now you have received the mercy of God. Oh, praise God for that. Luke 19:37, in the message, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works that they had witnessed. And some Pharisees, the religious folks from the crowd, told them, teacher, get your disciples under control. But he said to them, let me tell you something, if they keep silent, stones would cry out, shouting the praises. Rocks would cry out. If you and I keep silent, we sing this, I heard this old song years ago, ain't no rock gonna take my place as long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. No, ain't no rock gonna take my place as long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Come on, who knows it? Oh, praise the Lord as long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Amen. Come on, that's all you're going to get. I'm not going to let a rock take my praise, because when we worship, he changes everything. When we run from God or get mad at God because it didn't work out the way we thought it should work out. And somebody just sent me a message just within this month. This didn't work out. That didn't work out. Okay. It didn't work out the way you thought it would. But you don't turn around and walk away from God and say, well, you didn't work this time. I guess you won't work now. And you don't even know what he's doing in the background of your life when you don't get it your way. Come on, this isn't Burger King. You can't get it all the time your way. When you trust him, he gives it to you in his way. And when we worship him in the middle of that, we see what he wants to do in our lives. He changes not only our lives, but he changes the lives of those who are around us. In Psalm 18:3, David said, I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from mine enemies. I was thinking about the scripture this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, multiple armies were mounting against him, and he didn't know what to do. And the Bible says that he bowed his life, and he bowed his head, and he began to worship the Lord. And in the middle of his worship, read it for yourself, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Bible says that God set ambushments up against his enemies and destroyed them all. You've been working to try to stop it in your own strength. But when you lift up your hands and you begin to praise and worship and you sing the songs, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. When you do that, the Spirit of God is dispatching his angelic force from the throne room of heaven. And they are taking care of the enemy forces that are trying to take. Woo, I feel him in here right now. Whether it's sickness and disease, I don't care what it is, the economy, whatever force is coming against you, when you begin to praise and worship him, he pushes back the enemy from your life. And he brings in the grace, the power, and the glory of a risen Savior. Come on, if you believe that, you ought to shout in this house. Chases the devil away from us. And we need this anchor in our lives. It must be a part of who we are. Because I can't control everything that is happening around me. But what I can have influence on is what's happening inside of me. And there is a protocol, the worship. The Bible says in Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's where we start. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Sarah, come on up. I'm going to close with these few little thoughts on worship. Worship is based on a choice, not a feeling. It's not, I feel good today. The weather's great. The coffee truck's out front. The Bills are going to win. I'm going to worship him today. Yeah. No. You worship him when the forces of darkness are pushing against your life. Habakkuk says this in Habakkuk 3:17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, there's no grapes on the vine. The olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. There's no sheep in the pen. No cattle in the stalls. He said, yet I will rejoice. Yet, we need some people that have some yet in their lives. Might not look good. Not working out the way I thought it would. Not coming together how I anticipated it would. Yet I will, Habakkuk said, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. What's going on around me, I can't change. But what I can even have influence on is what's going on inside of me. Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus. Therefore, look at this. Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips, giving thanksgiving to his name. A sacrifice. Not just when things are good and easy. It's a sacrifice of praise that changes everything. Second, worship. You got to worship with all you got, not just a little. David said, 2 Samuel 24:24, it's a beautiful story ahead of that, but he says, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice the Lord, my God, my burnt offerings that cost me nothing. We are living in a culture that wants something for nothing. It doesn't work like that. When you and I come to God, he wants, come on, say it with me, everything. He wants everything. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And I worship and I expect, when I do, I expect God, He's going to respond. I might not feel it, I might not see it right away, but I'm going to tell you something. When we worship, the Bible says, listen to this, James 5:8. Listen to this. Read it if you can see it up on the screen. Listen to this. James says, come close to God. This is simple. I could have used this scripture and just said amen. Come close to God and He'll come close to you. People tell me, oh, I just don't feel God. Really? The Bible says, when you come close to Him, He comes close to you. When you come close to Him, He comes close to you. Not the other way around. Well, I'm just waiting on God to move on me. I'm waiting to feel something, and then when I do, then I'll... No. You come close to God. Come on. Say it with me. Say, come close to God. Come on, everybody say it. Say, come close to God, and God will come close to me. Because everyone gives their attention, their energy, their calendar, their money, their affection to something. Everyone worships. But who and what you worship makes the difference in your life. And whatever you and I worship, I imitate. And whatever I imitate, I become. Did you catch that? Whatever I worship, I imitate. And whatever I imitate is what I become. I hear people tell me all the time, I don't like what I'm becoming. Change what you're worshiping. Change what your first are. Romans 8:29, for who he foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He wants to be first. He wants you and I to worship him and him only. Spirit of the living God, just close your eyes. Fall upon this house and the inhabitants thereof, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Oh. Of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all we have is yours, every single breath.
If you're able to, let's stand together.
More than a song.
If you're able to, let's stand together.
It's not what you have required, Lord. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into you my heart.
Come on, everybody, sing it.
I'm coming back to a heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, 'cause it's all about you. Sing, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, today we refocus. We make you first, not second, third. We make you first, and we honor and we worship you, Lord. Our lives will be focused. We determine to get back to that place of worship. We drop in our lives today the anchor of worship. We will trust you in the good, in the not so good, in the challenging. We'll be faithful to you, live for you, surrender our lives completely over to you. So your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed. Even those that are watching online this morning, if you've never given your life to Jesus, this is your moment. You need to do that today. You need to say, just Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I trust you with my life. Lord, for everyone that prayed that for the first time today, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that will guide them and lead them. And Lord, you begin to do great and mighty things that we know not even of today. I thank you for it. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for those that are watching online. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I pray the Lord grant you his peace and his favor in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said a big amen. Do you receive that word this morning from the Lord? Amen. I love you. Go in his grace today. Go Bills. Come on, don't eat too much. Have a great day. Love you.